Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, is my co-host. Is that one Nick Mason?
Yes.
Wow, it's great to have you here, Nick Mason. What one am I plugged into here?
That's a really great question.
The silver
it's,
one.
Once again, one. It's chaos at Mission Control here, isn't it?
See, Claire's plugging the back in. She's put us into two and three.
Two and three?
What's two and three?
Who's bloody number one?
So I'm looking at this and I'm like, is this even any... Anyway.
Is any of this recording is the question. Yeah. Well... Who knows? Oh, okay. I see.
You see great things ahead.
I see great things in green little green lights.
Excellent. Fantastic. Yep. Hey, listen, this is the Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. And this week we've got so many hot topics on the card.
We've got so many hot topics on the card. We might even cut out all the technical faults.
Do you think so?
But no, I think we should leave it in. Even if we do cut it out, we do have this backup here.
That's right. We're backing it up, baby. I'm recording this one this week, but Collings is taking the week off, so I'm going to be editing this one, so I apologise in advance. I don't do this as much anymore, but just know that I'm trying my best, and yes, I didn't put the Planet Broadcasting thing at the front. I know that already.
Wow.
It's a clever marketing trick to get people talking, you know what I mean?
I'm certainly talking about it.
Because I brought it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Anyways, these are the topics for the week.
Did he forget about it? Is that what happened? Did he
these are the topics thing? For the week, Mason.
I'm a new listener. What's he even talking about?
Oh, that's a great point. So this is what we're going to look at. I'll put time codes below, probably. So we're going to talk about a Batman Joker deleted scene that was revealed.
My goodness, there might be some spoilers for Joker. For the movie Joker, obviously.
I agree.
And also the movie The Batman.
Two things.
So if you want to skip that, time codes.
Also, do you like... Voltron movies, Mason?
I've never seen a Voltron movie, but I guess in theory I
Yeah, it's
would.
Nice in theory, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've also got Deadpool 3 news, potentially maybe the Hulk something.
Okay, that's pretty good.
We're also, then it's just Morbius all the way to the end. Because
okay.
I don't know if people have heard.
We're in Morbius right now.
And we've got some early word about what's going on. The director's online just... spilling all sorts of Morbius
Have you
secrets.
Heard the word about a real turd?
That's what he keeps saying. And then, of course, in honour of Morbius...
I was like, is there a vampire word that rhymes with herd and word? But then I'm like, no, you've got gold right there.
Turd's fine right there. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But yeah, and of course, in honour of Morbius, last week we did our best spin-offs, including TV series and movies. And this week we're doing worst.
That's right.
Let me tell you, I've got a list here that's going to spin that little top out of your wear, Mason, to the show every week.
Which way? Like, will it spin...
Counterclockwise.
Will it spin like a buzzsaw? Or will it like flip off my head and spin around like a clock and then land back on my head?
Yeah, that one.
That's crazy.
I thought so.
Dude, the very idea of that has bloody blown my top hat off. Let me tell you this.
I agree.
Yeah.
But also at BigSandwich.co, where we do a bunch of bonus stuff, movie commentaries, whatever, we did a Morbius book club that's up there
right now
if people can check it out.
Anyways. We did a classic attempt to find a definitive Morbius comic that perhaps... If you were disappointed by the movie, you might enjoy that.
Yeah, but there's some okay stuff. That's all we found.
There's some pretty fun stuff in there, I thought.
I agree.
His first appearance is... There's a lot of words in it, let me tell you.
And he has to fight Spider-Man, and Spider-Man has six arms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that's what happens. Anyways, the Batman,
yes.
as mentioned, got a deleted scene, a full scene. It's just very early in the day to release this.
Yeah.
It's, Barry, apparently it's Keon, maybe.
Oh, it's Keon.
But
okay.
It also might not be.
Every week we're getting closer to the answer.
I hit up like four or five different how to pronounced. I went to different interviews. It was all different. I don't know.
There's even just interviews of people flat out asking him, and he puts his pinky up, and he's like, I'll never tell.
That's right. That's very Joker of him.
Yeah. Prior to seeing this, I assumed this was more of a post-credit situation. Okay. But this evidently is set during the movie itself.
Yeah.
which is interesting.
Smack bang in the middle of month be a really bold time to drop this, don't you
That's
think?
That's exactly right.
And there's another Batman on the loose. So yeah, we did actually mention this. It was deleted because the director said it was like interesting, but it didn't really add anything to the story. And
yeah,
I think
look,
you also mentioned if you drop him at the start, then you're like, when is he coming back?
It's
you
know? Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think of the look, though?
Well, if we're talking the look, very interesting.
Mm.
I mean, we don't get it's mostly out of focus, but a lot of people have sort of enhanced it.
Yeah.
But
it's chemical burns, right, from his
back. Yeah, as I understand it, I read a snippet of an interview. I think it was Matt Reeves and Barry Keane.
That's right, you got it.
And they was, I think, because again, it's one of those things where it's completely up in the air. I think maybe the idea of it initially was that he was born like that.
Yeah,
it's Lady Gaga style. He was born like this.
The smile thing was apparently that.
So that's like congenital. So he was born with the ability. He was not an ability so much. He was born with the inability to frown. Basically, he always seems to be smiling.
Yeah,
which is more in line with like the Nicholson Joker who can't not smile.
That is true.
Because his facial nerves were cut or whatever.
It reminded me not so much the look of this actual Joker that appeared in it, but in Batman Earth 1, that's a more gruesome, gross, real kind of universe.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Which, like, a lot of the Batman is. But it also felt very kind of like the way it was peeling the new 52 with the Joker who cut his face off and then put it back on. Mm-hmm. Could you see like the back of his head and it's all scarred and he's like missing patches of his hair? And
I was going to say, in terms of the look, fresh new look.
Yep.
Hot new look. In terms of like delivery, it's very Heath Ledger's Joker, isn't it?
I think so. But like, what do you?
We've kind of stalled on Heath Ledger's.
Where do you go?
I guess that's a good question because I there are different versions of the Joker. I mean, you know, like your Mark Hamill, voice of the Joker is more like a big and theatrical.
Yeah.
But I guess if your character is in prison, you got to go smaller than that because otherwise people will be like, keep it down.
We're trying to read our newspapers.
The Joker.
Yeah.
I'm trying to cut the number of days I've been in here in the wall. Bit of shush.
I've got to say, I didn't dislike it. I thought it was interesting.
Yes.
But I am glad they cut it. I don't think it would have added to the movie.
No,
really.
Like we said, it's a bit of Chekhov's The Joker.
Yeah.
You'd expect him to show up in the third act and do something. You'd expect, you know, the seawall to break or something and then the Arkham doors come unlocked or something. The power failure releases all the prisoners and he's in there or something like that.
Yeah.
Also, I think the scene explained too much.
About the Riddler?
About the Riddler about what was going to happen. So in the movie, we're heavily into spoilers right now, folks.
Yeah, we're in month.
But, you know, at the end of the movie, it is revealed that the Riddler thinks he is helping Batman.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he is ridding Gotham of evildoers, which he is.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Whereas Batman just thought he was a deranged killer. But in this deleted scene, the Joker literally says,
He likes you
a lot and he wants to do stuff for you. And I think we'd go, well, that's
what happened.
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, it's been pointed out by a few people online. On the internet line. Where you know,
I love the internet. You can do so much on the internet.
I agree. Anyway, hands in the folder.
You can get stamps.com.
That's
you can get pets.com.
Really? What's a pets.com? Like,
I mean, currently a lot of dead pets, I would imagine, because that site's been out of business for a while.
Oh, no, they didn't clean them out at the end?
No,
that's sad. But he gives back the folder to Batman that's missing the paperclip.
Oh, so he can't escape with that.
He's gone escape. I mean, he doesn't by the end of the movie, obviously.
No, that's true, yeah.
Maybe he just needed a paperclip.
That's right. My plan is coming to fruition, and he just clips some postcards together or something.
Finally.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun little oddity. I also don't know whether it will speak to, like, what we see of the Joker next, even if they stick to that look.
Yeah.
Because maybe they won't. They've got time to kind of reinvent it.
Yeah.
Again, if he is going to show up. But also, I think if they're releasing this, I think this is canon.
Well, I was just going to say, if it doesn't appear in the theatrical version, is it canonical?
Yeah.
Are they going to release, when it comes to streaming and Blu-ray, is it going to be a director's cut with that scene in there?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Matt Reeves has said, I think in the past, no, what came to the movie What came to the theatre is my cut. So I don't,
and it's 3 hours.
But so people like, change their tune, don't
it's
they?
It's all there. You know what I mean? Also, it's doing very well. It's obviously the biggest movie since Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Until Morbius, obviously.
Oh my God, I can't wait to watch Morbius every day for the rest of my life.
I would like to say I think it's not canonical. I mean,
okay.
What are fans generally?
I think
they
will make it like Alan.
Yeah. What do you think? Or they might even put it in. No, actually, they couldn't, could they?
I didn't think it should go in.
No.
Yeah.
I was going to say they could put it in the sequel somehow, but I don't know if they.
Maybe put it in the prequel.
Maybe put it. Well, it's also interesting that the idea that we didn't even touch upon that.
They already had big adventures.
That means Batman and the Joker had big adventures, presumably in year one.
Maybe together. They had a good time.
Maybe they had a fun time. Yeah. Because in Batman year one, Frank Miller's Batman year one, he fights a bunch of gang mobsters and so on and so forth.
That kind of stuff.
And then at the very end, Gordon is like, I hope he can deal with this Joker
fella. Batman year one?
But
also Batman Begins.
That's true. Yeah, it's the same thing. So, yeah, I guess that's where it's slotted in.
Yeah,
interesting. You're Batman year and a half.
Wow. I love how they change things, but also it makes me mad. Mason, it's time for another bit of news.
I'd love another bit of news, thank you.
By The Hollywood Reporter. Red Notice director Rawson Marshall Thurber.
Fake name.
No, real guy, real name. He's developing a Voltron live-action movie.
Okay.
Apparently, a absolute bidding war like you've never seen, Mason, has busted out between Warner Brothers Pictures, Universal Pictures, and Amazon Studios. Apparently also
to distribute this, I guess.
Yes. Apparently they're also Netflix, who currently own some of the rights to Voltron, or at least they've got that show. So I think it's more distribution, are not interested in this.
Right.
So
they're not. So that's classic. That is classic Netflix, isn't it? They've done their dash.
Yeah. Look, I've always wanted to see a live action Voltron. I don't care who knows, quite frankly.
James. Now all the listeners know.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I should be embarrassed, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, and you could edit this out, but you don't know how.
I'm not even listening.
You've
back
lost
to this.
The touch.
Yeah. I didn't even put the sting in.
Oh my God.
I mean, I did it at the top. That was for marketing purposes, but I think I just didn't know how to do it, to be honest. Yeah. But look, here's the thing that worries me about this.
Go on.
Because I would love to see Voltron in live action. Like, that was like one of the first things that I liked as a kid. You know what I mean?
James, you're going to look back on this in 20 years and you're going to be like, I was really worried. You would be like, this is what I was worried about in terms of the live action Voltron movie. is going to be your like kids' high school graduation or something like that.
I have.
That's right. It's going to take them 20 years.
Oh no,
more than 20 years.
And
to
that's
graduate.
My fault.
That's your fault because you were too busy talking about Voltron all the time.
But the Netflix series is incredible.
Yeah,
right.
It's good. Mm-hmm.
The original show it's not very good.
I agree.
Right. And it's like a weird mishmash of stuff they took from Japan. The car one is unrelated and they mushed them together.
There's apparently also a third one.
There was a Gladiator one or something. I can't remember. But
it was a series of toy commercials.
Yeah,
folks.
Exactly. But the director of this is to be fair, I haven't seen Red Notice, but he did Dodgeball, he did We're the Millers, and he did Skyscraper. And look, some of those, like Dodgeball, it's funny I remember it being or whatever. You know?
Yeah. Sure, you know.
Maybe he's got a really good vision for it, but do you remember liking the movie Skyscraper?
Yeah, kind of. I think we reviewed it on here. I didn't hate it.
We did.
Yeah.
We fought in that wall of televisions at the end or
whatever. We thought he wasn't going to make that jump because he only had one leg. And also it was a really long jump.
It was a really
even if you had two legs, you probably couldn't do it.
Yeah, you probably couldn't, then you couldn't do it. So, no, again, like, I didn't even hate any of those movies, really, I don't think, but, like, it's not like, wow, this is, like, the person. Mm. Like, if they were, like, you know, I don't know. Who does big robots? Specifically
Steven Spielberg,
yeah,
AI.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that could be cool as well. But anyway.
Oh, wouldn't be bad.
Right. Who did Robot Jocks? Get them back.
I'm going to look it up. But in the meantime, I read an article this week about, speaking of Netflix, I read an article this week about the cancellation of the Babysitter's Club show. Apparently there's a show on Netflix.
And isn't it really, people like that show?
Well, people like
they?
It apparently, and it did good, really good numbers. And it won some awards.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like they're not trying to age the kids up or whatever. It's just like a nice show for kids and they have their adventures or whatever it is. But it's pretty much entirely an article about like they interview the creator and they're like, this did really well, but then they just changed the algorithm for what gets a green light for another season and what doesn't. Oh. And they're just like, not again. We're not doing it again.
Was this the... I also saw an article. I didn't read it, but it was titled something like, Netflix keeps cancelling TV series, so I'm just not going to watch them. Like, it was something like that. Uh-huh. Was that the article you're talking
this
about?
This is a different article.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's James, there's been so much discourse this week.
I don't know. Is that allowed?
Yes. Okay. This will be my one bit of news this week.
Collings, edit that out.
No,
Collings, listen, I need you to come back and edit that out if Mason's wrong about how much discourse there was.
There was so much discourse, James. There was a bunch of stuff about Netflix keeps cancelling things and what are you doing, Netflix? Is it all going to come crashing down? Because
I think you kind of...
And they keep making it more expensive.
Yeah, but you need brands and loyal, and not only that, you need like people to be loyal and to be kind of bound to those things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if people are just like, why should I watch? Like that Taboo Tom Hardy show came up and I'm like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's from 2017 and they did one season and they're talking about maybe they might do another one in three years or whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm fucking not watching that.
Well, exactly. It's like there's so many shows where you go, oh, that they're...
You talk about Voltron. I can't have time to watch this.
there's
got to wake my kids up and talk to them about Voltron.
Hey, kids, there's no time for a good refreshing night of sleep so you can go to school and learn. I got to talk about Voltron. But yeah, like you, anytime there's an intriguing premise, I always look at it and go, are they going to wrap this up in a way that is satisfying or are they just going to cancel it after a season or two seasons when it's right in the... When we've just started enjoying the characters and the plot and what have you, and is he gonna bloody come on? What are you thinking over there?
What do you think? Blank.
Just Voltron, I guess. Blank. I don't know if there's gonna be. I don't know if we're gonna have a big mass exodus of.
Yeah.
Maybe, but also the other bit of discourse. Apparently, Spider-Man No Way Home is on streaming this week, and so I don't know if you've seen this, but this week on Twitter for me,
it was free streaming?
I don't think so.
Okay, right.
I think it was just this week Twitter for me was just like individual still frames of the movie and people going, look at the lighting on that.
There's
sucks.
A lot of like, this sucks, we hate this.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's the shot of Flash Thompson is in the city and Spider-Man appears behind him or something, whatever that is. And how do you feel about this?
I mean, I don't disagree that like there are shots in that don't look good.
Yeah.
Like Onion and there's some stuff on the bridge that looks a bit wonky, but also I guess you got to factor in that it was shot during a pandemic.
It was, that's true.
But it's also, I don't think it's strictly a pandemic thing with Marvel.
No.
And I was actually, the Corridor Crew did a video this week and they had one of the guys who worked on Shang-Chi on.
Uh-huh.
And he talked about the final fight where he fights the Mandarin or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they had an original background and they were like, it doesn't look any good. So they just had to literally like...
Who did the Corridor Crew?
No, not them, but they had the guy on and they had to, like, it wasn't filmed in front of green screen, but they had to cut this guy out, like them both fighting out and then put it on
Marvel did.
Background. Yeah.
Marvel did,
okay. Because it doesn't look that good. So it's like stuff like that where it's like, well, that's kind of why maybe some stuff looks murky because you're not lighting it properly and it's not filmed under the conditions that
would
mean you can, you know, make these kinds make it look a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it looks, I mean, again, it is that, if I'm watching this movie for a scene that happened, you know, a shot that lasts 1 second, if the light is the light and shadow don't match up, I'm probably not going to notice that unless it's a long shot and it's really egregious.
And yeah, on Twitter, it's not a good shot. Like it doesn't.
But I think there is some value to being critical of this sort of stuff, or you know, any huge thing. I don't think it makes me enjoy any of these movies any less if you go, oh, you know, this is a bit shady or whatever, or this is poorly. Because I kind of feel like any time with this big franchise stuff, like any time they get away with stuff with no criticism, they're just like, we'll do it again.
Do it again. You're absolutely right.
And I've said that with the writing of No Way Home. Like I enjoyed it as an experience, but there was a bunch of bits where I'm like, you could have just saved that with a sentence. And my fear is that like, two phases down the line, if we're still going, people will be like, these movies are bad now because they just went, doesn't matter if we don't need to fix that. People will still love it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. Shove it out the door kind of thing.
Yeah. And also the things about that movie that I did enjoy, it's not like it's none of that stuff is that important to me for a movie like that. Like my favorite scenes are in that, like the three Spider-Men just chatting.
Yeah.
Just being like, what's some weird stuff you've fought?
I can't remember.
Yeah. I got it in the head. But like, that's the stuff that I remember. Yeah. So, but that's because it's not what I'm kind of, if there's a like 2 second shot that looks like shit, like that's not what I'm there for, you know?
That being said, and you know, it's been done to death.
Do better.
They should fix the colors.
I agree.
It's got that weird digital grey haze.
But
over
a lot
everything.
Of that movie like doesn't look like that. You know, it's not universally and uniformly terrible.
Yeah,
you know, it's just there are moments in it where it's like that looks odd.
Yeah, but somebody's got to commit to like, I don't know what it is, like that digital video like grayness.
Yeah,
give it. Get somebody in there.
All right,
get Corridor Crew in there, James.
I'll do it.
Get him in there.
I'll give him a call.
I was just gonna say. The director of Robot Jocks was Stuart Gordon.
Okay, what else is he
also directed Reanimator and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, that's what? No, he didn't.
Apparently he did.
I thought that was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Which, no, the original?
Let's have a look.
I thought that was the dude who did Captain America.
Oh, Joe Johnston.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was. Then I don't know why it just says known for here. I don't know why. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He was the writer. He wrote it.
Oh, there you go. Okay, that's a great movie.
Mm.
Yeah. Cool, let's get him in then.
Let's get him in to do Voltron.
Mason!
He also did Fortress.
Oh.
The movie Fortress.
I remember the movie Fortress. I remember the bit where Christopher Lambert held his breath and floated out in space.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then he went into another airlock.
Yeah.
Wait, did he do Fortress or Fortress 2?
Fortress 1.
Oh, no, I haven't seen
that's
that
on
one.
The ground,
I've only
it?
Seen
yeah.
Fortress 2.
Yeah.
For some reason. THR. No, this is from Deadline. Wow. Marvel are apparently developing a Nova project with Moon Knight writer Sabir Pizzada.
Oh.
They didn't say specifically what it's about in terms of, like, is it a show, is it a movie? Richard Rider is mentioned in the article.
Sure, right.
But that doesn't mean that they're not going to do the Richard Rider is dead, new son finds a helmet story and whatever.
Yeah.
Or a combination of all of those things.
The father and son flying through space, blowing up planets, killing, destroying entire civilizations
now,
with their laser guns.
What has he got to do with the Nova Corps again? What's going on there?
Who, which one?
Richard Rider.
Well, gosh, good question, James.
I love questions.
In the comic books, the Nova Corps are so in the movies, the Nova Corps are a bunch of they're like a space force, and they all have like space fighter jets and all that.
Yeah.
We saw them in Guardians 1, right?
Yeah.
But in the comic books, they all have like a cool helmet and it gives them a suit with superpowers. They're more like
Green Lantern.
They're more Green Lantern or like a Captain Marvel kind of character.
Yeah.
So I guess. I don't know. I think in a fairly recent Nova comic book, all the Nova Corps was destroyed, but all the power of the Nova Corps goes into one helmet, and then the kid gets it.
Yes.
So maybe that's what it is. Because basically, a lot of the Nova Corps were destroyed.
Yeah, they're all dead or something.
Yeah. So,
oh, in the comics and also in the movies you're talking about.
Yeah,
a lot of them were. They made that big net and then they exploded.
Yeah.
They went, hold the big net, and they couldn't.
Sir Finowich, hold the net. And he's like, oh,
hold this net. I'll hold it.
That's right.
So there you go. Nova something. That's been in the works for a while, it seems.
Do you think it'll be John C. Reilly?
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? He does have a family.
Yeah.
Could be him.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
That's what I'm saying.
Love that.
Yeah. And I hope he gets absolutely shredded.
I hope he has to. He's not happy
about
it.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you see I saw a Nicolas Cage interview this week where
I
asked
my God.
Him about his... It's Nicolas Cage goes on the internet. God, he's an odd duck.
So
he's very strange.
He is, yeah.
No, but not in a sinister way.
No.
I think.
Yeah, that's always the...
But,
he's just got a... Yeah. There was also
there was a specific thing I wanted to say, but yeah, go on.
I was going to say, there was... I guess he's doing some sort of old school vampire movie.
Is there the image?
Yes.
In the makeup and whatever.
And it's...
He's like a Bela Lugosi looking dude.
Yeah, and apparently... So I saw the colour image first, but apparently it's... He's costumed and made up for black and white.
Oh,
because the movie's going to be black and white. So if you take that color into your scene and turn it to grayscale, you go, oh, I get it. He looks exactly like Bela Lugosi Dracula, which is why it looks like that's how they did it back in the day. Like if you watch, I don't know, the Munsters or something or the Addams Family.
Yeah, they're all in.
If you look at the actual sets in color, they're like very colorful because that's how it played.
Yeah.
On black and white TV.
Absolutely. Don't we all love that? Anyway, so he was asked about, they ask him. Secret questions.
Yeah.
He kind of ducked the did you pay $150 million for a dinosaur skull. He kind of ducked how much he paid for
Interesting,
it.
Interesting.
But he did say that he gave it back to wherever it was from.
Yeah, it was...
I can't remember.
Mongolia.
Yeah, but then they didn't give him any of the money back for it.
Well.
So maybe that's why he's doing all the things he's doing. But they asked him about his... You know, it's been much debated whether his abs are real in Ghost Rider.
Oh.
And he was like... That isn't 100% me, but I don't do that anymore because nobody believed me that I actually did it.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
go.
Oh, is that even true, though? Like, I can't even... Because you're an actor.
Right? He's a good actor, too. He's an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Also, there was some stuff about... I think he said, like, yes, I did do a bunch of video on demand and streaming stuff.
Yeah.
And straight to Blu-ray and what have
For his family as
and to pay off his IRS tax debt and all that sort of stuff. But he's also like, I committed 100% to everything. And
agree.
He did,
I completely agree.
God, I hope he doesn't get cancelled.
Just
be this level of weird forever.
Sean Levy, who of course directed recently The Adam Project. Mm-hmm. He also directed
The Adam Family.
The Adam Family, he did. Just a regular family. But he teased the Hulk in Deadpool 3 because he's directing Deadpool 3. He tweeted, he said, little did I know, and he tagged both Ryan Reynolds and Mark Ruffalo and then hashtag Deadpool. It's a picture of them together. They're lying in front of a suitcase, and on that suitcase is a sticker of the Hulk.
Oh.
So I think we're going to get some Deadpool Hulk stuff, which is good because I think now that he's in the MCU, he can just hang out with whoever.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, why not? Friend of the movie, Mark Ruffalo.
Exactly. And the idea that they can, like, what I like his interactions with other people, and I think that's the real strength of those movies.
Yes.
Like, him and Colossus is fun, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, those kind of pairings, it's good. And so, throw him in with somebody else and, you know, because him on his own, it's fine, but, like, him being annoying to other people is more interesting.
Very true.
Yeah.
And be annoying to as many personality types as you can. Like we've had, Russian and Stoic.
Yep.
And that teenage warhead lady.
Yep, that's right. You know? Exactly.
That nice young lady.
That's right.
And why not Ruffalo's Hulk? That would be fun, I think.
That would be fun.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's month miss, everybody. We all know that.
That's right.
It's on all our calendars. It's on my Morbius calendar that I obviously have and will continue to have for the rest of my life.
That's true, yes.
So it's always going to be...
Oh, you had one printed for the rest of your life?
Yeah, so no, it's just going to be the 2022 character calendar. Uh-huh. I'm just going to keep using it.
Okay, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Just more and more scrolls over it.
Yep.
Oh, my children have a test that day. I'll just scratch that out because Morbius is coming out.
So, this is via comicbookmovie.com. I got a lot of Morbius talk. There's going to be... some minor spoilers,
okay,
but it's mostly just so we can make fun of this.
That's right, terrific.
So that's how it goes.
God, I'm loving 2 weeks of making fun of Morbius.
Me too.
Let me tell you.
So according to several sources, Adrian Toomes, a.k.a. the Vulture, does not actually appear in the movie despite featuring in the trailers. The villain does reportedly show up in the film's post-credits. There are two, apparently. But the sequences are said to be completely different to those shot for the promos. Classic
now,
Sony.
Now, I...
got back on their shit, mate.
Right, exactly. That more BS they're famous for.
Thank you.
So I'm like, why would you want to take out that stuff that's in the trailer to connect it to connect Spum to the MCU?
Yeah.
And you suggested it's because somebody up top, like a Kevin Feige type character, was like, if this comes out and people connect it to the MCU in any way, it will damage the brand of the MCU. Yeah. Like the movie's that bad.
And it will... like, you can maybe isolate it even within the Sony universe, you know?
Yeah,
maybe
they
don't want that either, you know? No. What I mean? I wonder if they've taken out any of the references to Venom also that we've seen in the trailer. Also, apparently, you know, there's a few scenes where, well, there's one of them where he walks past an image of, it's Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
Mm, in the trailer, right?
Yeah, that's not in it, apparently. Okay. So, like, there's none of that stuff going on.
When I saw the Batman, there was a trailer for Morbius in front of that. And it is fascinating to me that the trailer, at least the version that's playing in Australia, is still the one where they do the Venom joke at the end where he's like, I'm Venom. Where it's like, that movie came out 5 to 10 years ago at this point.
But Venom 2, though.
That's what I'm talking about, Venom 2. And it's like...
that was last year,
wasn't it? No, I know, but it feels like 5 to 10 years ago. And I'm like, that is so gone from the public consciousness.
Yeah.
People will be like, well, oh, I sort of remember Venom, I guess. Venom.
Yeah. Also, the director, Daniel Espinosa, he's just on Twitter just spoiling the movie, including the post credits. Is this a situation where he's like, they've taken this away, it's been like they've edited a bunch of shit out of it or put it in and reshoots, and I'm just like, I'll promote it, but whatever.
Right, yeah.
Like, he's not being openly hostile, but this is that's not helpful, is it?
No, obviously. I don't think so, no.
Yeah, because people are... well, we can talk about it. I've got a bunch of reactions here.
Okay, I don't want to know what happens in the post credits.
Oh no, I'm not going to say
but,
that.
But
apparently,
you know what's interesting? It's pretty easy to avoid so far on Twitter. Like, unlike No Way Home spoilers, where it was just all over the place.
Yeah,
nobody seems to.
But these are apparently upsetting in terms of the post credit scenes. That has been the reactions. Again, I don't know them.
Yeah. This is, I mean, that's the absolute last ditch. I feel confident we have seen this before, like maybe for a DC property or something.
Suicide where, Squad, maybe?
Maybe, where it's Justice just like, League. Where they've clearly gone, oh, you got to stick around for those, like it's the last ditch attempt of like, yeah. You got to stick around, you got to pay for the price of admission just for the post credits. I mean, you clearly, nobody seems to like the movie, but you won't get anything else in future if you don't see this.
Yeah.
Is these post credits.
Interesting. Mm. Anyway, so we can play a little game, Mason, and I guess it's kind of a callback or just a call. It's not a back. We do them all the time.
We're getting a call.
Well, you have to guess the review from the whatever.
Okay.
This is one's for Sonic 2, which is also coming out this week in Australia at least, and the other is for Morbius.
Okay.
So you get a guess, okay?
Okay.
It's by Neil Vag, who says, hashtag Morbius walks a fine tightrope between gothic vampire melodrama and comic book fantasy. Jared Leto embodies Michael Morbius with a dedication no other actor could. The pacing is brisk, and it features some great visual flair.
Oh, is what you've done here is you've changed. Have you changed?
No, I have not changed a single thing.
Huh. Morbius.
Correct.
Nice.
That is as kind as any of these are. That's the kindest one
I could
find.
I thought you'd done a little bit of homework and you changed. Like, James Marsden does a real fun job here and you've just changed it to Morbius.
No. This is from Jeff Vega, who says, I've seen Sonic Movie 2 and I already miss it.
Sonic Movie
Correct,
2.
That's right. Mm-hmm. This is from Sab Astley, who says, well, Morbius is about as bad as you're expecting. A 2005 plot collides with visually confusing CGI to create a bit of a snooze fest. But don't worry, they've saved the worst for last, featuring some of the worst post-credit scenes you've ever seen. Sony are off their rocker.
That's Morbius. What I love about that is just... post-credits, like...
How bad could they be?
How bad could they be? Like, they, for the most part, they are an afterthought, or occasionally it's like, oh my God, it's going to be that character, whatever. Like, 99% of it's like, oh, it's that character who's going to be in a movie in a year, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But to be like, these are bad and awful. Incredible.
Because even Justice League 2, Justice League Original,
yeah.
had Superman racing the Flash, that's and it's like, that's fine, right? Mm. Anyways, this one's from Kevin Pollowy, who says, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is the Godfather Part 2 of Sonic the Hedgehog movies.
Oh, that's good, but that's Sonic 2.
That's correct.
I read also this week, apparently, Ezra Miller, in Peacemaker, at the end, Ezra Miller had it like...
It deleted a bunch of stuff, didn't
they? There's like several minutes of him doing Aquaman has sex with fish jokes that they cut out.
Oh, really?
So they're on the cutting room floor. Okay.
Bring those back.
Bring those back. They're probably going on the DVD.
This is from Cameron Howe. Morbius is just as disjointed as boring as you'd expect it to be. Clearly butchered in an edit by a studio who have no clue what they wanted to do with it. Not that there's a good film trapped in there. Mid-credits are a joke, but stick around if you like rolling your eyes.
Oh, nice. That's Morbius.
That is Morbius. Mm. Brutal. This is from Escape Film Club. Hashtag Morbius proves, no matter how many famous faces or shiny visuals you squeeze in, Sony will always find a way to impressively misunderstand basic storytelling.
Wow.
Fuck.
Oh, that's Morbius.
Thank you. This is from Nikki Novak, who says, just saw Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and it's a love letter to video game lovers. Had a ton of fun with it. Unlike a lot of blockbusters, the third act is bananas and the strongest of the film. Jim Carrey reigns supreme.
That's Sonic 2, but the little dig at other blockbusters was about Morbius, that's I think. Right.
It's from Ren Geekness, who says, in Morbius, Matt Smith gloriously hams it up in the place... all over the place, I don't know. And Oliver Wood delivers some visual flair to the action sequences. Aside from that, and the bad plotting and messy CGI, confusing editing, and worse sound mix result in absolute incoherence. But the post credits manage to outdo it all.
God, that's what is fascinating. Happening? I cannot wait. Do not spoil it out there, folks, for us. Don't spoil it.
Not because we don't want to be like, oh no, we don't want to know the future. I want to be like,
yeah, I want
to. I want to know.
I want to feel it because I'm like. I think we do occasionally get invited to media screenings, you know.
Well, we got one for this, but it literally is the exact same time as anywhere else.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Exactly, the same time.
That's where I'm going with that. Like, the truest yardstick of whether a movie studio thinks a movie is good or not is how close to the movie's release we get the
I saw
the
Batman like a week early, week clearer. Yeah. I don't know if you remember me talking about that.
You wouldn't shut up about it. Shut up. Anyway, that is about Morbius, unless Matt Smith is in Sonic 2 as like Charmy B or something.
He might be. Yeah. And this is from Nicola Austin, who says, well, Morbius is unfortunately not great. Some really shoddy VFX and 2000s formulaic plot, and definitely not as fun as Venom. Really confused at the future of Sony's Spider-Verse following the post-credit scenes and editing. Matt Smith is clearly having a blast, though. So there you go. That's sort of kind-ish.
Mm.
So people like Matt Smith. And to be fair, none of these are like, we fucking hate Jared Leto.
Yeah, right.
You know, so... And as someone who does not like Jared Leto, that's... not nothing.
There you go. No, that's great.
Did you see Matt Smith this week was also like, they asked about his character. He's like, I don't know. I couldn't understand any of his motivations. I had no backstory. I don't think it relates to the character. I think I had the same powers of Morbius, but honestly, I just used the script and I did the script or whatever.
Oh, is he not a cop? I thought he was a cop or something.
I think he gets a Morbius powers also.
Oh, well, that
because you need someone to fight.
It's Sony, you fight
the same thing as whatever.
They just use the Venom blackboard and they swipe up.
I don't like Venom, but if it's like Venom, but it's not fun. I mean, what are we even doing here? Wow. I can't wait.
I cannot wait. It's Morbius, baby!
So next week we'll do Morbius. We might squeeze in a bit of Sonic the Hedgehog too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, okay. I can say that, yeah.
God damn. Those post-credits, please nobody spoil it for me, please. I just please let me see them. I don't want to mute all the Morbius words on Twitter.
Okay, let me ask you this. If they got leaked on Twitter, would you watch them without the movie?
No, I'm probably not.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't.
I want the build-up. I want the absolute crushing disappointment after a very average movie, I think. Yeah, because you can read them. The director has told what they are. But it has to be like incoherent and universe-breaking. And maybe they roll in another Spider-Man. No, because if it was that, people might like that, right? If they're like, God, it's Andrew Garfield or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Or whatever. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, let's find out.
Yeah.
Now, because it's Morbius, obviously we're returning to the topic mentioned up top, where we're talking about spin-offs.
That's right.
This time, spin-offs of bad things.
Yeah.
No. Spin-offs of good things, I guess, but the thing is bad.
Correct, yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
What's happening here?
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be some genial rambling
I think so. Here's a good one to start with. I remember seeing this at the cinemas and being like, why did this happen? I mean, I also kind of get it.
All right.
But also, why?
Oh, what is this?
U.S. Marshals. Do you remember what that is?
Oh, the spin-off of Don't Tell Me, The Fugitive.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they basically take everybody in The Fugitive who's not Harrison Ford,
the
U.S. Marshals.
Or the one-armed man.
That's right.
Because he's dead.
He's dead, probably.
Yeah.
And they chase Wesley Snipes around.
Because they had to...
Did they do the pipe thing?
No, they didn't do the pipe.
Oh, you got to do the pipe.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
I think that's a solid idea.
Yeah.
Because it's like... I mean, the problem is also that the team isn't the focal point of that first movie. It's not the reason why that movie works. Like, it's partially, it's like, it's having Tommy Lee Jones, but it's the pairing of him and Harrison Ford and finding out what Harrison Ford is up to. And I remember seeing with Wesley Snipes, I can't even remember.
What did Wesley think about it?
That's funny, but I can't even remember. I will never stop walking into that.
I know. And I'll never stop making it, despite the fact that I'm the only person in the world who enjoys it.
But
Robert Downey Jr.'s in that movie.
Yes. I don't remember what his crime was. And I think that's kind of pivotal. You know what I mean?
Oh, the Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, or supposed crime.
I think he was like a special forces soldier or something.
Oh,
maybe he'd seen a crime. A bad crime, you know?
Oh, he should never see a crime.
Yeah, he saw a big bad crime, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have. They'd never make... Yeah, because I remember... Because the... Look, spoilers for this movie that came out in probably 1998 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You think Wesley Snipes is on the bad guy because he's the fugitive.
Yes.
Too. But it turns out it's Robert Downey Jr., I think. I think he's the bad guy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, great.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah.
Okay, they pursue a fugitive, Mark Sheridan, played by Wesley Snipes, who attempts to escape government officials following an international conspiracy scandal. There you go. Here's the thing about it, though. James, you can never make it these days.
I'll
tell you why. Well, not in this form, because they'd have to bring Harrison Ford back.
Oh, definitely.
They'd have to. Or the original. There's no way they would make a sequel to a movie like this and not bring back the original fugitive.
Yeah. I mean, it also.
And they'd be like, boy, this guy's an expert in doctoring. We really need a doctor.
Shaving his beard and dyeing his hair.
Yeah, we need. I mean, there's only one guy we can turn to, and then it's Harrison Ford. Richard Kimball.
You'd need a scene where they need to go to his office or something, and he's like, "You got a lot of nerve coming out here. I jumped out of that pipe. That sucked.
That's right.
I still got water up my nose from it.
You're lucky we have great chemistry together, Tommy Lee Jones, because otherwise you'd be out in your ear."
They keep trying to remake The Fugitive, though, right? It keeps coming back.
Is there a TV series?
Yeah, there was, and then, I don't know, there's other things.
There's also...
I mean, it started, obviously, as a TV show.
They're actually doing three equalizer, the third equalizer movie with Denzel Washington. But there's already an equalizer TV series.
Yep.
Happening right now.
Yep.
With somebody, a lady equalizer.
Queen Latifah, I want to say.
Ms. Equalizer.
They're very good. I just put Planes because I feel like it's in. I don't know it.
She Equalizer.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Planes. I didn't say it, but like that's clearly like. You're tricking kids.
Oh, Planes, the spin-off to Cars, which is not a Pixar movie.
I think it's Disney, but it's not related, and it's not in the Cars-iverse.
Okay,
because
right.
Everything's a car, not a plane.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Even the bugs are cars in that universe.
Okay.
How does it work? I don't know.
I don't know how many Cars movies I've seen, if in fact I've seen any of them.
The last one's about
rehab. So everything's a car. There's no, like, is there a helicopter guy?
Oh, that's a great question.
Isn't it, though?
I don't know. Mm. It's not about that, though.
No.
It's about cars. We talked about this a little bit last week, though.
Go on.
I mean, X-Men Wolverine Origins. I never even know what it's called. Like, what order are these words supposed
to be in? It's been drilled into my brain. It's X-Men Origins colon Wolverine.
Okay, very good.
Maybe there's no colon.
If that character and that, not only that, the character and obviously the actor Hugh Jackman were not beloved, that would have stopped that completely, movie, you know? Mm, yeah. Though it did make a fair bit of money.
Mm.
But yeah, just like atrocious, like boring and weird and strange cameos, and it looked like shit. It's just no. And they steadily got better, those
right?
Red movies.
And then took a dive.
Then took a. In Logan.
Oh, no, I mean, you know, the other ones.
Yeah, he's not in any of those ones, really. True. He's sort of in, I want to say, Apocalypse.
No one remembers.
No one remembers, and it's not important. But yeah, there you go. What have you got on your list, Mason?
Gosh, what do I have?
It better be something absolutely outstanding, or I'm going to spit chips.
Wow. James, I just want to talk about Gary Seven. That's all I want to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about Gary Seven. Is that the Gary Seven Wikipedia?
No, I don't have anything here. I'm just going to freeze.
What's that then?
Just a thing that I'm reading.
What, unrelated?
Yes.
Fucking hell, man. What's Gary Seven?
Right during the middle of the production of the original series of Star Trek,
I've got a whole list.
Gene Roddenberry
had
an idea for a TV series called Assignment Earth.
Yeah,
and the original they came up with a spec script for it. So they wrote a script for a pilot episode, and the premise was there was a man named Gary Seven.
Yes,
and he was sent back in the original pilot. He was a man from the future, and he gets sent back to what is the present day United States, so the 60s,
which always happens. They're doing it at Picard at the moment. They're like, we're in the year 2024.
That's right.
Are you?
The cars are slightly blockier, and everybody's wearing a vest. Look out! Everybody's wearing a taupe vest. But anyway, he goes back to the 60s, and the idea is he's like a future spy, and he's doing stuff to prevent, you know, a disaster happening in
That's
the future.
Interesting.
That is interesting. So they went, Roddenberry went to, I think, CBS, the channel that Star Trek was on, and was like, what do you think about that? And they're like, no. So he was like, okay, let's retool this. So in the TV episode, he's not from the future, he's from present day, like 1960s timeline, but he's from an alien planet.
Okay.
And the Enterprise has been sent back in time to the 60s.
But because they're out in deep space, they can't visit Earth. So they have to visit like something that's sort of like Earth with Gary Seven on.
No, they do go to Earth. They go to Earth in the 60s.
Okay.
And Gary Seven has been beamed from an alien planet to present day 1960s Earth.
They have to rescue him or something?
Yeah, they have to like team up. The United States government is launching like this satellite missile launch platform or something like that, and they've got to stop it because otherwise the world's going to end. And then this all happens, and then like the episode was produced and released, and they were like, Roddenberry's like, what do you think about this now? And they're like, still no. Absolutely not. No,
this
no.
This is worse.
What I love about the episode, though, if you've seen it, in two things. In previous episodes, going back in time was like an ordeal.
It's a huge.
It was a huge
sometimes
thing.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is. But in this one, Starfleet just goes to the Enterprise and goes, hey, we heard something weird happen in the 60s. You want to go back in time to the 60s? And they're like, all right.
Yeah. What's
so the episode just starts, they're just back in the 60s.
Amazing.
And I just love that, again, it's I just the idea of like, and just go to regular wardrobe. Just go to, we don't need any. But the other thing that I love about it is at the end, Gary Seven is chatting to the
Does he come with them?
No.
So he doesn't join the
crew? No, he doesn't join the crew.
Not even for an episode or two?
No, he doesn't join it for an episode or two. But basically, he's talking to Kirk and Spock, and they're like, Kirk and Spock are like, Gary Seven, let me tell you, we can't tell you, we can't reveal too much, but we've looked at history, all of history. And let me tell you, you're in for some exciting adventures. Let me tell you that you're going to have some real absolute zingers of adventures out there.
Has he turned up in anything else, like in Reboot?
He's turned up in some comic books,
okay,
I think.
That makes sense.
And I think there was maybe like IDW Comics or something like that did an Assignment Earth.
Yeah.
Comic book was okay. Like four issues or whatever.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Star Trek because there's so many. So there was going to be these are just some 60s ones.
Okay, I'm ready.
There was a Hope ship, which is going to be a space hospital ship.
Okay, that's great.
So, you know, I guess kind of like a general practice.
I don't remember Hope ship, but I'm sure.
Some of these are just ideas and not actual.
Oh, I see, because yeah. There was the original series.
Also, I should point out, I don't know which ones.
Okay, there was definitely plenty of original series episodes where, like, the Enterprise goes to, like, a distant space station. He's like, oh, my ex-girlfriend's here.
Good.
You're good, yeah.
There was a Harry Mudd. They wanted to do some Harry Mudd stuff, who recently came back for Discovery.
As Dwight from The Office.
Yeah, that was really fun. There was going to be a Spock and the Vulcan something.
Probably a band, a family band.
Probably,
like
yeah.
The Partridge Family.
Yes. There was a...
Spock and the Vulcans.
Yeah, there was one. This is fairly famous and ended up becoming what the movies were. Before Star Wars, there was Star Trek Phase 2.
Yes.
So you probably know a lot about this, but basically their plan was to relaunch the franchise with all of the crew who were still willing to do it.
Yeah.
New sets, new ships, new designs, more updated special effects. Because the fans of Star Trek never went away. It was always airing. There was that animated show which had everybody in it also, I think.
They were like the pioneers of conventions and people
dressing
up as, you know.
But then when Star Wars hit big, I think that was the kind of thing where they went, huh. But also, I think a bunch of that stuff was also worked into Discovery, like a lot of the concepts.
I think so,
Like, if I couldn't tell you specifically what.
I mean, there's been plenty of, I think, you know, discarded Star Trek concepts that have just been put into new stuff. But yeah, like, God, Star Trek the Motion Picture's not very good.
I agree.
And their weird white uniforms, I hate it all.
I haven't. Actually, have I seen it? I don't remember.
You have not seen it, I don't think. Yeah, it's so slow.
But isn't that good, though? Don't people like the idea of that? Like that it's not just pow-pow-pow-pow-pow-pow-pow-pow.
No. Because Star Trek 2 came out and there was a lot of pow-pow-pow in that and people liked it. So.
Yeah, okay.
And also Star Trek 2 pioneered like their like luxurious like red flannel uniforms with a turtleneck. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
The best uniform, in my opinion.
Do you think so?
No.
We were mentioning Discovery, but Section 31 was getting a spin-off until very recently with Michelle Yeoh. Which
they've had a lot of
good,
like spin-off
character.
Novels and stuff like that, which is like the...
There's a bunch of comics
it's like...
Well.
And I think probably video games as well, like Starfleet Special Forces, like Black Ops.
Absolutely.
I think it's fun.
There was something called Starfleet Academy, which is going to be a TNG spin-off where it was a ship and it was mostly run by Academy students.
Okay.
So they're just like, oh, we don't know what we're doing.
Oh, the ship's falling into the sun again.
And I'm just going to name a bunch of things here. So there was going to be a Worf spin-off. There was going to be a Riker spin-off.
A spin-off. The Worf spin-off.
You. Thank you. Riker. I think, who played Riker again?
That guy.
He's always sitting in a chair backwards. And
yes, he's always playing the trombone or
telling
something.
Telling you a secret.
His name is...
This is the thing that happens to us once an episode.
Yeah. Let's make it multiple times an episode.
What?
Don't tell me.
Could we think about who his doppelganger is when he gets...
Tom Riker.
Yes.
I think.
But so does that help?
No.
It's Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes. Frakesy.
I didn't look it up.
All I could think of was... You looked it up.
How did you know?
All I could think of was...
When I was typing and looking at the screen, how did you know?
Yeah. No, I thought maybe you were doing something else. Like you had, like me, you had like a notes app open.
What are you looking at
now?
I'm
looking at something else.
Yeah, but what is it? I'm curious.
I was just thinking of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And you were like, what's his real name? And I'm like, Ripley?
Ripley's. Dean Cain? Did he do Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yeah.
So there was going to be an animated Kirk Picard series in the early 90s.
Oh, Generations
style. Off the back of Generations, I guess.
But it was just, Picard was just dragging Kirk's corpse around.
Exactly. Yeah, timelines.
Weekend
at
Bernie's.
Yeah. There was going to be a Kelvin animated series, you know, set in the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
There was going to be a Ferengi show, an animated show. There was going to be a Captain Sulu animated adventures also at one point. So they were just like everything.
Sure.
Anyway, did you ever watch Girl American Psycho with Mila Kunis?
No.
So that started off as like a
different movie,
serial
right?
killer, and she's killing some, I haven't said killing various people. And then they went, we can actually market this absolute piece of crap by shoehorning.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pointing in...
That she was
the cousin of, was a cousin or something like that,
of Patrick Bateman.
And I think he's, you might see the back of his head or you get a phone call or something in it. So really? They basically just tacked on this
thing
and called it American Psycho 2. And everyone hates it. Everyone who's in it, everyone around it, no good and no fun.
That movie I enjoy. I don't know if it's good.
American Psycho.
But it is very entertaining.
Oh yeah. Like the bit where he's like, the business cards, and then you go online and somebody swapped the business cards for Pokemon cards or whatever.
That's where
we're going. Like, that's fun, isn't it? What about, there was an episode, an infamous episode of Supernatural called Bloodlines.
Oh, how long did that go? That's
show?
12 years?
Oh, Supernatural.
Is it still going?
A million shows. A million
17
shows.
Years? Something like that.
I think it started in 2005 and it maybe ended last year.
The guy who played Gabriel, I think, has been cast
in
a show.
Yeah, he's Harvey Dent.
There we go. Yes, Gotham Knights. There we go.
Yeah.
So that show's going to go first.
It went from 2005 to 2020. Also, there's going to be another animated prequel spin-off thing happening for that, apparently.
Terrific.
Anyways, Bloodlines was in one of the later seasons. I think it was like season 9, where you meet like this particular group, and it's like a mafia family, but they're also like monsters. So the idea was, I guess it was Sopranos meets Dracula.
Sopranos meets the Monster Mash.
Yeah, and people hate it.
Interesting.
Hate that episode.
How many seasons did you get through of Supernatural?
I got to like 9, I reckon.
Okay.
I got pretty far.
Let me ask you this, James.
Yeah.
Because I watched one episode, I think.
Sure. 1 to 5 are good, and then it's kind of...
Their dad,
He's
dead originally, but then it turns out he's not dead.
Yeah, something like that.
And how many seasons is he in at most?
Because
it's...
Because it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, so he gets famous.
Yes, that's right.
So he doesn't do a lot of... I don't know whether he comes back for later seasons or not, but he drops off probably around season 4
okay.
or 5.
So he wasn't just a main character for 15 years after dying.
But maybe he did come back. I couldn't honestly tell you. But yeah, he got famous from various other things and moved on.
Mm.
But if we're talking about pilots that just were wedged into regular series, Mason.
Yes.
Season 9 of The Office.
Oh, they went to a farm, right?
They went to a farm.
Yeah.
And they cast
Dwight's farm.
Dwight's family. It had Thomas Middleditch was his brother.
Yeah,
and
right.
I can't remember who else was in it. But that was a filmed pilot, which they then chopped up into a regular episode of The Office.
Oh, I see, right.
And it didn't test well or the studio didn't like it or whatever. It was probably both. So it's just this very odd...
I remember being very odd.
Like, very specifically cast episode.
Yeah.
It's like, these are actual comedic people. Yeah, yeah. These aren't people who just... And they mostly stand there.
Right.
Like, they don't do that much.
I guess at a certain point, The American Office, it would be a bit like The Simpsons. If you were an actor, you might be like, I'd love to be on The Office just for one scene or one episode.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
That's interesting because I sort of envisaged that episode as they made a regular episode of The Office to see if people liked those characters. Yes. Then they would spin it off. But you're
which
saying
would probably be the way to.
Yeah, but you're saying they were like, let's just assume this is going to do well and do a
they
pilot.
Cast it all, or well enough.
Wow,
is this a prequel or a spin-off, Mason?
Go on.
I think it's probably both. But Dumb and Dumber, when Harry met Lloyd, when they recast Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber.
No, that's a. I feel that's a prequel.
All right, let's skip that one. Okay. Let's skip.
If
over
they
that.
Name any supporting character in Dumb and Dumber. If they spun one of those,
I've never seen Dumb and Dumber.
Oh,
yeah. And that's, you know, send your tweets, but I haven't and I won't.
Okay.
I won't see it because I bet it's one of those things that's actually not that funny. Like now, if you just watched it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's amazing.
You know what I'm regretting? And this is an aside. I'm regretting not really getting into Riverdale because apparently
it's gone bananas.
It's gone
mate.
Absolutely bananas again recently, yeah. Apparently.
I was in Riverdale for like a couple of seasons.
You were in it?
Yeah, I was in it.
Oh, wow.
It was
good
never
for you.
Not entertaining.
Yeah. Like,
there was always something going on.
This is a tweet. This came out earlier today. Riverdale update. This is on Twitter from Eyepatch Wolf. Archie and Betty survive a multi-universe merging bomb blast by hiding under a table. Veronica hires an assassin to kill her dad. Cheryl is possessed by an evil witch. Betty encounters the show's 15th serial killer. Archie and his dog develop superpowers.
Is that real?
Yes. So he says, these are real. These are always real. Apparently this is one episode as well. This isn't like the entire season.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Hey, man, just keep people watching. If it's entertaining, good.
Yeah. Like, I there are people that complain about that show, and maybe I would complain about it if I watched it, but I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm loving the idea. Like back in when I was a kid, I would read Archie comics, and they were all like hanging out in Riverdale High or whatever,
yeah.
But they all had like solo books where weird stuff would happen.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Jughead was in the Time Police.
Oh, yes.
And like Dilton was the nerd character. He had like a secret lab and had supernatural adventures or whatever.
Okay. So
and they were never canonical, but they were never explicitly not canonical either.
Yeah.
So my because it didn't matter at the time.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I'm always like, I like the idea that they all had like a weird secret gig yeah. on the weekend.
But and they
were all sworn to secrecy. With the like, they were all like, one of them's a superhero over the weekend. And they're like, what'd you do on the weekend? They're like, nothing.
That is fine.
Absolutely nothing. So I'm glad all the insane stuff has gone into the show.
Agree.
A show I do not watch.
Here's something that you did watch and you love.
Go
and
on.
People have been asking us to do this for Caravan and Garbage for years.
Yes.
Supergirl.
Oh, the movie.
The movie is I mean, I know all the Arrowverse spins off and whatever. And there's probably some cancelled pilots in that, probably. I don't know.
Oh, there definitely is. There's a number of Suicide Squad episodes. And it's Diggle. Diggle.
Was it killed by the movie?
That's a great question. I mean, I'm always under the impression that
the testing ground.
The CW stuff is a testing ground for the movies to see what works. Because they got Michael Jai White as Bronze Tiger.
That's true,
and so on and so forth. Like you were saying, like why
would you cast
you get a movie guy to do a couple of episodes of this thing? And it's like, well, yeah.
But Supergirl is so she turns up to Earth as the cousin of Superman.
Oh, James, let me tell you. Okay, because I've brought up my special list here.
Okay,
they didn't spin it off because the CW was already going to spin off The Flash. So they're like, well, that's enough.
That was pre-The Flash.
This was pre-The Flash, yeah. So this was season 2 of
it. It was an Arrow episode. No, I do remember that episode.
Yeah,
I was
still
on board then.
And
there was like Harley Quinn's voice as well.
Yeah. And then they Suicide Squad. So apparently Warner Brothers was like,
no.
We can't have two versions of these characters as they aren't well known. But I'm like,
who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Do it.
Yeah.
So yes.
I mean, now we do kind of have.
Yeah,
we do kind of have two versions of a lot of the Suicide Squad characters.
The Flash from the movie met the Flash from the TV show and whatever.
I mean, people get it now.
Yeah,
we have two versions of a lot of the Suicide Squad characters. We have Suicide Squad and the Suicide Squad, and like, Flag is barely the same guy. And like,
how quickly though are you going to burn out on this multiverse stuff? And will it be because of Morbius?
It won't be because of Morbius. Because I'll immediately forget what happens in Morbius as soon as the movie ends, unless those post credits are pretty.
Yeah,
you know
that's interesting.
No, I will forget about Morbius as soon as we finish the podcast.
Okay, good.
That is my goal. That is my
goal.
Yeah, that is my vow.
Yes. Anyway, so Supergirl has one returning cast member, and it's Jimmy Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it came out after 3, but before 4, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was that it was going to be a whole franchise and whatever, but it's really shoddily made.
Okay.
Like clearly on a budget.
Yep.
She fights like a witch and a dragon at the end.
Yeah,
or something.
Right.
It's just nonsense. It's just, and it's also, it's painful because it's one of those examples, the same as Catwoman and Elektra, who also happen to be spin-off movies with female leads, where they're like, oh, people, you know, they mustn't like these. But it's like, no, that's crap. Yeah, you've made a terrible thing. Of course people don't like it.
And you made... you were saying it was before four.
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to find out right now. So, 1994, so yeah, it was.
Yeah, so they would have... So it, what basically people would have seen was three Superman movies of declining quality.
Yes, and exactly.
Then, including the third one, which is barely about Superman at all, and then a bad Supergirl. Well, people are already tired of the concept.
Yeah,
And then they're like, and here's a bad version, but it's girl Superman. That's not a failure of Supergirl. That's a failure of... I mean, the movie was bad also.
Also, and it was it cost $35 million and it made $14.3 million. So that's never good. Did you ever see The Next Karate Kid? I saw that on a few
lists.
Hilary
Swank.
I thought it was fine, like on all honesty. I haven't seen it since the 90s, but it brings back, you know, the original Mr. Miyagi.
Okay.
It's got a new student. And there is like an element of, which, you know, Daniel LaRusso was in this or whatever.
Is that but what they say?
Yeah, that's what everybody says to each other all the time. But the idea of like having Hilary Swank in the lead role, and that was before she was like proper famous.
Yes, that's true.
It's good casting, you know? And look, I don't think it's great, but what an opportunity to also bring her back for Cobra Kai.
Have they?
I know. I don't think...
Oh, that was my question.
Yeah, I don't know whether she...
And I said it. I expressed my question.
I don't know whether she would do it.
In a healthy manner.
That was very respectful.
Hey, idiot. Is she back for Cobra Kai?
But...
That stupid show you watch because you're stupid?
I do watch that show, and it is stupid, but it's fun. Yeah, because they recently did Karate Kid 3 and the dude with the ponytail and whatever. And, you know, and Kreese goes to get him and he's like, we gotta take down Daniel LaRusso. And he's like... what were we even doing then? I was harassing a kid. I was doing a lot of coke. Like, I'm not that person anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, right.
Which basically explains Karate Kid 3, why this grown man is like
harassing
Daniel LaRusso. But I don't know if Hilary Swank would actually do it. But they got Elizabeth Shue back, you know, so maybe they'd do it. Yeah. Here's a fun one, Mason.
I'm ready.
You're going to love it.
Okay.
There's a few Brady Bunch spin-offs that they tried. There was one in particular called Kelly's Kids. That was about the Brady's neighbor, Ken,
who
accidentally adopted more children than he meant to.
He accidentally adopted, okay.
Takes too many boxes.
Sure, yeah. How many kids you want? 15. Oh, I know, I meant one, but I said 15. I was thinking about how many eggs I wanted to buy at the supermarket. That's right,
15.
15.
I don't like that.
No, I bought 12.
This guy got what was coming to him.
No, I buy 12 and I buy 6 and then I open one of them. And I throw some away.
This guy
on the street.
He should be in jail.
I know, but instead he's got too many kids. A nightmare.
So there you go. That's fun.
Let me ask you this, James.
Yeah.
What about that episode of Stranger Things that is just Eleven goes to the other city and she's like, well, these kids are just like me and they're very interesting. They've got superpowers, different haircuts. And they're interesting.
That was confirmed, right, to be
a
definite attempt at something else,
I think
right?
so, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's interesting that they haven't tried to do more of that.
Is it because it didn't work?
Yeah, well and it's also, I was about to say this before, but you know, like Family Guy has like had the Cleveland show and American Dad is probably linked. I don't know. I don't watch any of that. But how has there never been a Simpsons spinoff?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
All there has.
Well, I mean, Futurama is...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of...
I think it's probably just because Matt Groening got very busy.
Yeah, but like if you do... Like in this, and also Disenchantment is set in the same universe as well because there's a time traveling thing in it.
Well, then I say close enough.
Okay, fine, close enough.
You seen those new Stranger Things kids' haircuts?
I had a look.
Yeah. They're 80s haircuts. That's why their haircuts are so bad, because it's just the 80s and not everybody had like a Farrah Fawcett haircut.
Well, that is very true.
Not everybody in the 80s was Steve with his beautiful hair.
That's true.
Everybody just had hair that sucked.
Now, last week we also talked about Happy Days.
Yeah, Mork and Mindy.
And that did well, but I've got a bad one for you here.
Okay.
This one's called Chachi Sells His Soul.
What? I know there was Joni Loves Chachi.
Yeah, there's that. No, this is different. This is, or maybe bloody Getting Married is bloody selling your soul.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind saying I hate my wife, Mason. I'm one of those guys. I don't know if I've told you this before, but I'm one of those guys who tells all his friends that he hates his wife.
Yeah, nice.
That's me, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's a backdoor pilot. The spin-off actually aired before the Happy Days episode that introduced the guardian angel named Random. Yes, random. Yes, another guardian angel concept. However, watching Chachi sells his soul, in which indeed Chachi, so Chachi strikes a Faustian deal with the devil's nephew.
Okay,
so
that's
not
fun.
Even the devil.
Okay, sure.
They couldn't
sure,
even
sure.
get the real devil.
Wow.
I guess would that be too hot for television if you got the actual devil?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that'd be too hot for television.
So there you go.
Yeah, this is one I like. I don't think I ever watched this show.
Okay,
but I just love the idea of this. Charles in Charge had 3 episodes in the final season, which were failed attempts at a pilot. 3 episodes. 3 attempts.
They really
in each, a character would visit somewhere where there would be a character that looked suspiciously like one of the regular cast members. So Ellen Travolta, who played Charles's mother, had an identical twin sister who ran a car wash in New York.
What?
Willie Ames' character, Buddy, had an identical cousin.
I'm sorry, but they were the same actors, right?
Yes. Willie Ames' character, Buddy, had an identical cousin working in a hotel in Hawaii. Nicole Eggert's character had an identical cousin living in New Mexico. But what I love about that is also, like, we're going to do a spin-off and get this. It's going to be set in a car wash.
Why not?
Yeah.
What was that Danny DeVito one? Taxi or
Taxi,
whatever.
Yeah.
There you go. That was set in a car wash.
But I mean, that yes. But James, this also...
Alan Travolta is John Travolta's sister, though. I just Googled
yeah,
it.
Right, yeah,
I didn't know that.
But that also led to, like, just speaking of The Simpsons, like, The Simpsons was so successful, one, because it was, you know, the novelty of the animation,
yeah.
but also because it broke out of, like, the absolute doldrums that sitcoms were in at the time,
yes.
which is, again, just people in a car wash, you know?
Apparently.
That was so dull.
That is so bizarre. So it's weird that they, was Chachi dying, or did he not
Charles? What are we talking about? Are we talking about Chachi, or are we talking about Charles?
Charles. So what... The show was ending,
yes.
but they planned to continue a spin-off with the same actors in different location.
Roles, yes.
With Charles, or was he Scott
Baio? I think he
was
going to be gone.
Different things.
They were
things.
Just like, what if his aunt ran a car wash? I guess, you know, if this is your meal ticket, you know, and you're
yeah.
like a, you know, you're like third or fourth build on this show, and it's going to be cancelled because Scott Baio doesn't want to do that
yeah.
anymore. And they were like, what if?
Yeah.
What if you ran a car wash? And I think also part of you would be like, yeah, I got the charisma to pull this off.
I mean, I'm doing well on this show, aren't I? This is a popular show, and I'm John Travolta's sister or whatever.
That's right, yeah.
Well, speaking of spin-off television shows.
I mean,
shows,
it's either that or wait for a cameo in From Paris with Love in 20 years.
Is that true?
No, I don't know. I think so. No. I'm thinking of John Travolta.
Of course. Mm. So there was 3 MASH spin-offs.
Yes.
I know I talked about this last
After
week.
After MASH.
Nobody cares about this. I'm
the
sorry.
Radar Show.
Yeah, so After MASH was the show where it had, it was the Colonel.
Okay.
It was Klinger. And it was Father Mulcahy. And they work in a veterans hospital in the state on stateside.
Okay.
Went for a couple of seasons.
When is this set? This would be set.
After MASH.
So,
just after. Like
so
immediately
the
after.
Early 60s?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's set immediately after the final movie.
Okay.
And the final movie, like, famously, is like the highest rated thing that's ever
yes.
been on television.
That's true.
Anyway, this got obliterated, destroyed.
Oh, no.
The idea was to keep reintroducing old characters as well. It's like, oh, Hawkeye's going to visit or whatever. But it never got to that. But it, like, one of the things that really crushed it was the A-Team. There was also Trapper MD. Now,
okay.
Trapper famously left the show after season 3, I
because
say?
Hawkeye had a best friend who
called
was Trapper,
Trapper,
but then he left and he was replaced by another best friend who was more or less the same. As
no,
him.
No,
one,
no, they,
one had curly hair.
They
right?
were very different.
Yeah,
they
no,
cast
yeah,
them
yeah.
differently,
yes.
mate. And I'm a big MASH fan.
Okay.
I will not have such MASH slander.
Well, I'm a bloody big MASH fan.
Go on.
Like a MASH
yeah,
potato.
Like a MASH potato.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Like,
oh,
a bangers and MASH
yes,
situation.
Yes, yes,
yes,
very good. Anyway, Trapper MD, the spin-off show, didn't star the actor. He left the show because he was of the understanding that it was equal build. Right, and
to
he felt
Alan
like
Alda.
It was, yeah, it felt like he kept, like a lot of the stuff kept going to Alan Alda or
okay,
whatever.
Yeah.
But then in hindsight, he's been like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. I
sure,
probably should
right.
have hung around.
I should have been in the most highly rated
yeah.
Series finale.
Because it went
ever.
For like 11 seasons
yeah.
or whatever. Anyway, the show, though, is more of a spin-off of the movie, and it doesn't star that actor. So I think it was
right.
more of like a legal thing.
Oh, I see, right,
where they
right.
went, okay, we can do this thing. And the
so
we,
this is a character we own, so
yes.
we're going to use, okay, right.
And the last one they did was Walter, which was, so who there's a character called Radar whose real name was Walter, you know this.
I know who Radar
I know,
is.
But he ended up leaving the show like a couple of seasons before the end.
Okay.
I remember the reason why he left was because he was famous for in the show where he'd know when the helicopters of wounded were coming in. He could hear them or sense them before they arrived.
Because he had a radar sense.
Because he had a plate in his head. I don't know. I don't know if that's the reason why.
He had a dinner plate in his head.
Yeah.
Just sticking out like a radar dish.
Yeah, but apparently in real life.
Yes.
A chopper flew over his house and he did that look that he does.
Okay.
Because, like, instinctively.
Oh,
and he's like,
I see, right.
I've done this for too long.
Right, okay.
So he quit. Okay. Klinger took over his role, essentially. Anyways, he obviously liked the character, so they made one episode of a show called Walter, which is the same font as MASH, and it's even got the dots
little
in
stars.
Between,
okay, yeah.
And where he basically becomes a police officer.
All right.
So there
cool.
you go.
Okay.
A tiny little police officer.
That's fun.
So that's fun.
You know what's wild? Friends never had any spin-offs.
It did, Mason.
Did it?
Joey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, it's on my list.
Right.
Let's talk about it. I want to talk about Joey. So, Friends, obviously.
I was like... Man, not a Gunther never got a spin-off.
And he died.
You know, yeah. I mean, Phoebe's sister was in Mad About You, but that doesn't count because that came first.
And
I
that's
think.
All connected and whatever. Yeah.
But so, Joey, let's talk about Joey.
Okay, so basically what happened was, I'll read you the overview.
Okay.
The series centers, this started in 2004, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Let me check.
God, remember
started 2004. September 2004, yeah. So this series centers on Joey Tribbiani, who was struck out by lightning. Yeah, that's right. Struck out on his own.
and he got radar powers.
Right, and he moved to Hollywood, hoping to truly make it as an actor. After reuniting with his high-strung sister Gina, a strong and sexy hairdresser, Joey moves in with his genius 20-year-old nephew, graduate student Michael, who is a rocket scientist. He begins a tentative romance with the superintendent, Alexis Garnett, and becomes close friends with fellow aspiring actor Zach Miller. So, yeah, it's just Matt LeBlanc, and his sister is played by Drea Di Matteo, who
is in The Sopranos.
Is in The Sopranos. Mm. So, yeah, which was also running at the same time.
Yep.
But The Sopranos, like, they'd only do 10 episodes a year, and they... Some years they didn't make them for whatever reason. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It was 10 or 12 or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
They varied from season to season. So, yeah, this went for 2 seasons. It also had, Peter Stormare?
Sure.
That's not how you pronounce
the
it.
The devil as from Constantine.
Yeah, as the boss.
Yeah, right.
In the salon. And mm-hmm. I've seen a few episodes of it, and it's just whatever. You know what I mean? I think it went the way of, like, the Michael Richards show and, you know, that George Costanza show that's not George Costanza, but it's really just George Costanza. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, who from this series still wants to make some money from this and keep this going? And Matt LeBlanc was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it or whatever.
It's going to be a few years before I'm a host of Top Gear or something.
Or
I'm in that British show that was good. Remember that one, Episodes?
Yeah, I never saw it, but
I've heard good things. The last season of Highlander, the series.
Yeah.
It was basically just Duncan MacLeod, who's the main guy, just meeting a bunch of female...
Not Connor MacLeod?
No, but
he's not in it at all.
No, he's in the first episode.
Thank God.
But the last season, like, there was like 4 episodes in a row that were just like, oh my God, it's another female immortal from my past. Are you interesting and charismatic? Are you though? See which one the audience likes. And eventually what they did...
That's fun.
Yeah.
Why, you've seen so much Highlander.
I've seen every season of Highlander, I think. But So one of them was spun off into a series called Highlander the Raven.
Yeah.
But she
was... Wait,
was
that Raven the one that Ben put the clip of in the Caravan of Garbage recently?
Don't know.
Okay. Let me check.
Okay, please do.
Yeah.
But her character on the show wasn't called the Raven. It was just a different... What they did is they were like, we like the idea of a character. We like the idea of the name Highlander the Raven.
Yeah, that's
But we don't like the actor who was the Raven. So we'll just take another one we'll take a different woman. We'll put her in Highlander the Raven, and we'll make up a thing in the title sequence about how she's the Raven.
Why have you seen so much Highlander?
I don't know.
Because
Highlander. You know what? I loved how French it was. The series was very French. Not the first couple of seasons, but in the later seasons, it got funded by the French. So
was it called Raven or Highlander the Raven?
It was called Highlander the Raven.
There was also a show called Raven about an ancient immortal Scottish warlord guide his younger charges warriors in a grueling set of challenges to discover who will triumph.
I've never heard of that.
That started in 2002.
No, I don't know what that is.
But that was in the... We got a lot of comments. Because every now and then, often Ben or Lawrence or Matt or Collings will put in a clip of something... In a video. And then we get a lot of comments of like, oh my God, I can't believe you watch this YouTuber.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe you know the show. And I'm like, I've never seen that before.
Right?
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And Raven is a recent example of that. Or they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you like Jimmy.
You guys love Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, you guys love Jimmy the Bucket is my favorite YouTuber. And I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Right?
Also, that's made up, I'm pretty sure. Mm. Yeah.
It will exist. So.
Yeah, and he might be cancelled. Anyway.
We've mentioned this before, but The Incredible Hulk had a bunch of spin-offs. They attend.
Yep.
We recently watched the episode where the trial of The Incredible Hulk, which is just the Daredevil show.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
The Hulk took a real backseat. And also, there's a Thor one.
Yeah, that's true. We also did Aquaman for the Smallville because there was going to be a show called Mercy Reef.
That's right.
And that's fun. We've obviously talked about Son of the Mask. The Caravan of Courage, Ewok spin-off movies.
Yeah.
Probably we are going to do them at some point, but that was a thing. What do you think? A lot of people also put Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li, but that's not a spin-off.
No.
I mean, it's sort of a spin-off of nothing. Like, it is a side story, but there's no main thing happening.
It's
like a Snake Eyes Origins.
It was Ming-Na Wen who was Chun-Li in the original
one, yeah.
And this it's Kristen Kreuk.
Exactly.
So no.
No and thank
no,
you.
No,
no thank you.
No.
I've got a couple of I got to ask you about this. Okay. Where do you stand on the Alien versus Predator movies?
Oh.
And they are spin-offs of both series.
Yes. Do you mean do I like them?
Yeah.
No. But I think Alien versus Predator Requiem is the better sequel, even though nobody else, I'm the only one in the world that thinks that. But yeah. There it is.
Okay, what about this? I've got two good ones to end on.
Okay.
And please, feel free to jump in, Mason, at any point. 21 Jump Street had a spin-off called Booker.
I remember Booker.
So Richard,
it had Richard Grieco.
Who was...
the Greekest man in the world.
That's right. He and Johnny Depp headed up that original series, and obviously people have seen the movies, which is also a sequel to the original show, it turns out, because they're both in those movies, whatever. They're undercover high schoolers, right?
Yes.
I mean, everyone's seen the new movies, obviously. But yeah, so that was like a very serious like cop crime drug-busting drama in the 80s, right? And it had hot and new stars.
Yeah.
Charlie Clausen and I recently talked about it on Fofop because we talked about the Hey Hey It's Saturday... Johnny Depp appearance.
And then you're going to be talking about Booker.
That's
sure.
right. Anyway, so, but this is why this doesn't work, right?
Go on.
Because I'm going to read you the synopsis. Because the idea of like going into a high school and you're a cop and you have to pretend to be young, that's kind of fresh and new, I guess, and like, ooh, exciting and whatever.
Mm.
But this is like Dennis Booker, who has once worked for a large metropolitan police department, is now hired by the...
Dennis Booker?
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
Is now hired by the...
I would kept that quiet, honestly.
Is now hired by the US office of a large Japanese company to investigate some suspicious insurance claims. Went for a couple of seasons. But
wow, insurance claims. Incredible so stuff.
And
how about this, James?
Okay.
Did we mention this last time? NCIS is a spin-off of JAG.
Maybe in passing.
Okay.
But that's obviously huge and big, Mason.
Huge and big. It's been going for 100 years.
It's bigger than JAG!
And in fact, NCIS obviously had NCIS LA and probably another one.
I agree. I've got a big one to end on, though.
Okay, I'm ready.
Big flop, I mean, Mason.
Uh-oh.
Evan Almighty. It's sort of a sequel, but it is more of a spin-off of Bruce Almighty because Evan appears as a minor character, Steve Carell, in the first movie.
But then he got famous.
So they thought, hey, let's do Noah's Ark. Hey, also, let's put $175 million into this movie for some reason. And I've seen bits of it. It's not very good or funny. And also, he doesn't have god powers. He has to build an ark with animals.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it made $174.4 million. So just $600,000 shy of breaking even, not including marketing, obviously.
Wow.
Also, I just quickly Googled, are any of the friends in Joey? And they said, they were too busy with individual film projects. Also, they literally couldn't afford them because they would have cost about $1 million per episode.
I was going to say, they were too busy being very rich.
But also, like, what's his name? Chandler's in like Scrubs.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Scrubs.
It's just, that's sort of got a sequel.
It's got Scrubs interns, yeah.
It's okay.
It's all right.
I know a lot of people hate it, but I thought it was
fine.
And that's everything that I've got.
I mean, there's a trillion billion more. We do not have time. We'll come back to it another time.
No, we won't.
Next time we'll come back to the episode of Gilmore Girls where Milo Ventimiglia's character goes to find his dad in San Francisco or whatever.
I did see a lot of like Gilmore Girls, various other spin-offs, and I'm like, I don't know anything about Gilmore Girls.
Well, I mean, Supernatural is a spin-off of Gilmore Girls.
No, it's not.
No,
maybe.
It's just got it's got the same guy.
I'm like, is that true?
Whatever it was. There needs to be more mundane drama shows, Mork and Mindy style on Happy Days, or like Chachi Sells His Soul to the Devil, where it's just...
Devil's Nephew.
Yeah. So it's just a really mundane show. And
that
means
the devil has a brother or sister.
Mm, it's true.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. But there just needs to be more where it's a really mundane show and they're like, we like that guy. What if he had telekinetic powers? Yes.
That's kind of like Millennium.
What if the guy at the soda shop had telekinetic powers?
Yeah. Fantastic stuff, Mason. Do you know what it's time for now?
Is it time for what we're reading?
Yep.
What we gonna read?
I can't believe it, but you're absolutely right.
That's right.
I'm doing it. Yeah, great. Westworld?
Whoa.
I love talking about what I've been reading.
Me too.
Or what I've been listening to or what I've been watching. And what have you been doing any of those things?
Great question, James. Well, we got a little advanced viewing of the TV series Moon Knight.
Moon Knight episode.
So there will be a video up pretty soon, I think.
It'll come up Wednesday.
Which will be very, very exciting.
Wait, I don't think we can say that.
Oh, then I have no opinions on it whatsoever. But I got a little taste of that Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
So I watched The Card Counter, which is a movie that came out last year.
Oh, is that good?
It is good. It's So it's Oscar Isaac.
Yep.
It's Tiffany Haddish in a dramatic role.
Wow.
It's Ty Sheridan.
Wow.
Cyclops from some of the X-Men movies.
I know this movie.
And Willem Dafoe. And it's basically it's Oscar Isaac. He's gotten out of prison. I won't say why he was in prison or whatever. But he's just a guy who makes his living sort of doing. He learned to count cards in prison, and he's now his living is like 6 or 7 days a week. He just goes to various. He drives to various casinos, and he does like small, like card counting,
just kind of chips away,
like blackjack, and he makes a little bit of money. But then Ty Sheridan and Tiffany Haddish show up separately, and they're like, "Hey, Oscar Isaac, you want a bit of drama? You want a bit of drama that would be suitable for a movie?
Does he want drama?
Initially, he doesn't, but then he's like, maybe a bit of drama though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit of drama would spice up my weird life of me
and
being a weirdo.
Doing one of those Ocean's 11 styles, like backflips onto a bank vault or whatever. Like
he becomes. They're like, do you want to be the little oiled up guy in a little casino trolley? And he's like, yeah, I am kind of little actually. Why wouldn't I do that?
I think I'm little. Yeah. I mean, I'm on like television, so I look bigger. Mm. But I don't know, am I little?
He's like 5'9", I think, or 5'8", something like that.
So he's 5'2", really.
Sure
that's
he
his official height.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. And it's
What's it on?
I bought it on YouTube Movies.
Wow.
That's right. I spent $5 or $6 or something
to rent or buy?
Rent.
Yeah. I don't like it when I buy a thing and then it's stuck in my list of things that I've bought.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because there's three things. It's like one of the versions of Suicide Squad.
Yes.
The early one.
Just lurking there
and then like
a trap.
A random episode of like It's Always Sunny and
Yeah. Mm. And this movie was directed by Paul Schrader. He wrote Taxi Driver.
Oh.
He's one of those guys. It's a movie. It's executive produced by
the Jimmy Fallon taxi movie.
Yeah, Taxi.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hasn't that taxi got magic powers or whatever?
I don't think it does. No.
Wow, imagine if it did though. That's a movie I'd want to watch and make.
Yeah. Anyway, he's written and directed a bunch of stuff and it's a good movie.
Terrific.
Very stylish.
Oh, stylish,
yes.
Now, here's something that I've been watching, Mason, that I know you've also watched.
I've
watched some episodes of Jack Reacher on Amazon.
Oh,
Prime.
Did you? What do you think of it?
It's all right. I know a lot of people like love it or whatever.
How did you, of all people, get onto this? How did you find any spare time in your life to watch any
popping
episodes
up and whatever?
Okay.
Anyway,
right.
So it's interesting because at the start he's like he doesn't talk for like 20 minutes the first episode, but then he doesn't shut the fuck up for the rest of it. I thought his whole thing was he's stoic and he only spoke when he needed to say anything.
No, he's one of those guys.
But he does not stop explaining shit to everybody all the time, like colleagues, cops he likes, cops he hates, wives of people who have just been murdered. Before he beats up a person, he explains their strengths and weaknesses, and then he hits him with a bottle in the head or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's just like it's a solid show, don't get me wrong. And he's a great Jack Reacher, and it is well cast all around. But it's just a little like, oh, look, the best man in the world's doing a thing.
Yeah,
see,
what you have to settle into is it is a show. Like, he is the TV equivalent of, like, most of The Rock's characters in that he's just, you're there to cheer on a guy who's just steamrolling everybody. There are a couple of it's not really a spoiler, but there will be a couple of sequences later on where like maybe somebody gets over on him, but it's like you look at the scene and go, why did it work then and it didn't work every other episode? Like,
exactly,
why did you catch him by surprise then when every single other time somebody went to catch him by surprise and he's like, I know you're there and I've got 15 ways to, you know, defeat you from this position or whatever, you know?
And you're right, he does all that. He has Sherlock powers where he's like, you're divorced because you're sad and you look to the left.
And you got, is that why they got divorced? You're too much looking to the left. Your wife hated it. You ended up in the arms of another man.
Yeah, I think it's also very much one of those shows where, like, I'd imagine a lot of people be like, this is me.
That's exactly what it is. Well, yeah, I mean, the steamrolling.
And maybe that's why I don't like it as much, because I'm like, this is not me.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I could not vault that fence. Let me tell you. What I have to do is I'd have to keep walking until I found a low point of the fence, a bit where the fence had like bit of broken off.
But you could climb through
and I could just barely
squirrel
lift,
through.
I could barely lift my foot over my knee. Just like, this is...
Look, but it's not... I mean, it's entertaining, don't get me wrong. But, I don't know, because I heard people like, it's amazing. And I'm
Did I say that?
I don't know if you did, but no, I heard people say it. I'm like, it's solid. You know. Yeah. And I get why people like it, but it's...
They also had to give him... like the 50 caliber Desert Eagle, like the biggest handgun that exists on Earth, so he would have a gun that looks normal in his hand.
He's so big.
Yeah.
He's enormous. But again, Alan Richardson, is it?
Alan Richardson.
Yeah, he's really good. I'd like to see him in like, because he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
he's been behind the scenes in a bunch of Smallville stuff. But whatever. But it's honestly great that he's like got his own show and people are liking it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, I said last week I'd do some festival recommendations, comedy festival recommendations.
Wow, I love festivals.
Hasn't started yet. It is starting this coming week, I think.
Wow.
Maybe middle of this week.
Wow.
Friends of the show, Andy Matthews, and if you're in Melbourne, friends of the show, Andy Matthews and Alistair Tremblay Virtual have a show called My Client is Innocent. Every word has inverted commas around it, and it's some sort of silly play.
Yes.
A couple of silly boys. For people that don't know, in Australia, they ride on a show called Mad as Hell.
Yes,
which is a network
television. It's a real show.
It is a real TV
show. And not
only
that, it's a very good show.
So they ride on that, and they do like a blend of smart and silly comedy.
If you did want to check out any of their stuff and you're not in the area, their last show, Teleport, they filmed?
Yeah, it's on the Stupid Old Studios website.
Yeah, you can check
it
out. You can give it a look-see. Yeah. Give it a purchase. Yeah.
This doesn't start for a couple of weeks, but I'm going to recommend it in advance. A friend of the show, Michael Williams, has a show called Colonel.
Ooh,
which is
he crushed it last year, didn't he, as well? Was it last year?
No, maybe.
Did you do one last year? Because of all the pandemic.
I can't remember.
I can't remember who did one and who didn't last
year.
Yeah,
but he's written a musical about the life of Colonel Sanders.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's him and he's put together a crew called the Nibble Pie Players, and they're doing a show about Colonel.
Excellent.
Colonel Sanders. And finally, another friend of the show, Beck Petratus, and Kate Dennett have a show called Swamped, where it's a comedy play about like entrepreneurs having a big week.
Now that's fun.
So that should be funny, and I'll do some more recommendations next week. So
terrific.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to recommend that we move to the next segment of the show.
Can I recommend you give me 5 seconds because I was looking up comedy festival shows and I didn't have time to search for
this.
The,
is you. You're like this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
But just, you could have used that time to look up the letters.
I did. All part of my plan, idiot.
Oh, did you? Did
classic
you?
One. Like
the letters, oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
I know they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
Wow, this is a segment of the show where we say to you, hey, you got any letters to send to us? Please do. You can actually do it via Gmail.
Hey!
weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Mm. You could also hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter also, if you are so inclined. Or you could run into me in the street and give me a physical letter.
What?
Mason.
Oh my God. That's a manila, a little manila envelope.
That's right. Half. What's this? An A5?
I'd say it might be an A5. Yeah, it's been folded, so it looks like it's been in the pocket for a while there.
Yeah. No, it wasn't folded when he gave it to me.
Oh, it was in your pocket.
Yeah, well, immediately.
James, that's how I know you're getting divorced, because you're always folding your manila envelope
and looking to the
your
left.
Pocket. Yeah, put your bloody wife arms of another man. Anyway, carry on.
Would you like to read the letter or would you like me to read the letter?
I'd love
Mason?
To read the letter.
All right, here we go. I'll hand exciting. It over to you. This one fell.
Does it have anthrax in it?
Who knows?
I'll give it a sniff. Should I reveal this first?
Yeah, no, let's do it at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dear James and Mason, Speaking of reboots set in the 60s, asterisk, I think you mentioned a Bond reboot set in the 60s. We probably did. Sure, that sounds like something I would do. I've always thought the MCU Fantastic Four reboot would be great if it was set in the 1960s. The original costumes, weird technology, and quaint family dynamics would sit well in that period rather than trying to reimagine it into a modern setting, which has never really worked. Perhaps in the first movie, they go into space at the end, and when they get back, time has passed to the present due to relativity, moving at the speed of light, etc. Science checks out. And it would be fun to see them meet the rest of the MCU heroes in the modern era. Yours sincerely, Phil. P.S. The $10 is not legal tender. So he's included a what looks at first blush to be a real...
Looks crisp and real.
An Australian $10 note or bill, but actually it's been photoshopped, so our faces are on both sides.
Pretty impressive Photoshop, right? If you don't mind me saying so either, Mason.
Very good. Who am I? Am I Banjo Patterson here?
I think so.
I'm Banjo Patterson.
And I'm the other person on the $10
note.
You're
the lady on the tenor.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Fantastic stuff.
How did you run into this person?
Well, you know, I'm just out and about, Mason. Yeah, I don't want to give away anybody's location.
But I'm
moving around town a bit more these days. You know what I mean? Now that my kids are slightly grown up. And I'm just hitting the burbs, I'm hitting the city, you know what I mean?
So you're saying karate class.
That's where you're at.
You had the same karate class.
Yeah, exactly. We have the same divorce lawyer. Anyways.
That's terrific.
So on that topic of Fantastic Four, though, Peyton Reed wanted to do his version set in the 60s, didn't he?
Yes, that's right.
Do you think there's a chance, because they're always doing a callback and whatever, and we've probably talked about this before, that's the version they're going to go with, like the Fantastic Four lost in the 60s?
I hope so, yeah.
Austin Powers style.
Quantum Realm,
whatever.
They could even go, I remember that little dark patch of space in the Quantum Realm during...
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do it in Quantumania.
That's right.
Maybe they'll be like, listen, there's Fantastic Four.
Maybe he, you know... Maybe like Ant-Man, you know, original Ant-Man knows them. So that would be a good place to
Oh, that
to
would be good, yeah.
In. Yeah. Anyways, apparently, I don't even remember doing this, or vaguely remember. I think we said, if you see us, give us a physical letter, but there has to be $10 in it.
There it is.
So, yeah.
Perfect.
Also, if you do happen to run into us, don't literally give us $10.
No.
Like, so that's, you don't have to. I mean, we won't read it. But
we have plenty of $10 of our
that's
own.
That's right. But thank you very much, Phil, for keeping that on your person and also putting in the effort. Really appreciate it.
Here's an email from Matthew.
Hello.
I almost died while listening to your podcast, brackets not clickbait.
All right.
Hey, James and Meso. So the other day I was listening to the pod while driving home from picking up dinner. Ooh, lucky for some.
I know, right?
I was entering the highway, an 18-wheeler on the access road missed the entrance and decided it was a good idea to cut across two lanes of traffic while also deciding to decelerate to maybe 10 miles an hour on the highway.
Bloomin' heck.
All while this was happening... They wanted. They missed. So they missed the. They missed. Oh, okay, they were going to miss the exit. I think.
Okay.
Just
okay.
All while this was happening, you said something hilarious. Oh, lucky for some, and I was too busy laughing to apply the brakes. Only doing so at the last possible second, stopping maybe 2 feet from the truck.
Jeez.
My car was fine. I flipped off the driver of the truck and proceeded on my way. But my food, which was in the passenger seat, was flung forward and I hit the brakes and was promptly ruined.
Oh, no.
Anyway, keep up the good work, Matthew.
Sounds like we owe Matthew $10.
Yeah, it's not going to get it, though.
No, I don't think so.
That's right.
Maybe we'll keep
We've got dinner to spill in our cars.
That's right. Oh, man, well, I'm glad you're not dead. I wonder if there's anybody who's, like, listened and died and we don't know.
What a great thing to bring up. But I've also wondered that.
I hope not, Mason.
Mm.
I don't mind telling you.
Do you think, just to make it a bit more positive, because you've really dragged the vibe around.
I'm dragging a vibe
around. But you've dragged it down specifically.
Oh.
And what I'm saying is I think probably there's somebody who's maybe like, they're listening to the podcast and they've dug up like a magical jewel and they've become immortal.
Okay.
You know, and they've shot out into space.
I don't care about that.
Yeah, no, it's
not
as
interesting. What's that got to do with me?
I don't know, but they're not going to give us $10, are they?
Nah, I don't even want any of those magical powers. I don't want any of that. They're like, you get infinite space powers. No. Let me alone. I got to finish Jack Reacher, this show that I don't really like.
Are you sure you don't want the magical space powers?
Yes.
I mean, what do you think's going to happen at the end of Jack Reacher? I mean, it's pretty formulaic. I mean, he's going to... It's going to probably be a big shootout or something.
Have you seen it?
I mean, I watched a few episodes, but I thought it was kind of a foregone conclusion. And also, he's going to go to another town in the next season. So, I mean, what am I going to fall in love with all these characters and then I'm not going to get to see them again?
I think there'll be some recurring characters. He might make a phone call or something.
Oh, a phone call. That's very... Wow. Wow, I'm going to commit to a whole season for a phone... He's going to call the detective, is he?
I don't want the gem. Anyways, do you have any other letters?
I do have another letter.
Okay,
give us another letter.
Not a physical letter.
All right.
This is from Touched Elf.
Oh.
I think we've had this before, and we're like, is it Touche Delf?
You know, it's probably touche, Delph.
But it's not. It is, right. just to clarify. No. Because I've been having a really terrible few days, I'd like to request...
You ever seen any Delphs on the internet?
What is that?
Never mind.
What is that?
It was a Dilf reference, but I don't.
Okay, so that's...
It doesn't matter. James, it's not all gold. Sometimes this is just workshopping.
Oh, that's not like a weird thing I'd look up and then I'd be like, well, now I know that forever.
No. Okay, it's just cool. I went MILF, DILF, DELF.
Okay.
Touche, Delph.
Very good.
You know? That's how my mind works. That's a fun little insight into how really it works or doesn't work.
Amazing.
Thank you.
But because I've been having really terrible few days, sorry to hear that. That sucks. I'd like to request some positivity. What's the best thing that happened to each of you this week? By the way, it's pronounced Touched Elf.
Oh, touche, Delph.
I know, right? Long story. just say, Amanda. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. What's a good thing that's happened to you, Mason?
I love driving around my stupid little car. This is from a while ago, but I guess I got a stupid little car.
Yeah.
And I drive around in it.
You're honking at people?
The top down.
You're honking at people?
Sometimes I'm honking at people.
Are you wearing a hat when you're taking the top down?
No. There is a hat in the boot, though.
Yeah.
They gave me a hat when I bought the car.
Don't you think, like, if you're wearing a, like, if you're going top down, your hat off, right? I mean,
I would fear that I was losing my hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But here's the thing that did happen.
I think I mentioned. If you're bald and sunscreen, yeah. I guess.
I think I mentioned this to you. I stopped at a roundabout.
Yeah.
And because there was a car coming, you know, on the side there, and you got to wait for the oncoming car. And a guy behind me honked his horn because I wasn't just screaming into the roundabout. So what I did is I just stopped there and I just pulled the roof, like I wound the roof back, and then I just gave him the finger.
Yeah, fuck him.
It's fun.
I hate that shit.
What a delight.
Yeah. That is, you can do that every day of the week now.
I did. Yeah. I do.
Cool. Well, that's fun.
What have you been up to that you've been doing? Well, is it something to do with family and friends and kids or whatever?
I didn't buy a fancy little car.
Well.
Like a little Lord Fauntleroy flipping off the general public around town. But a couple of things. I caught up with some uni friends on Friday, which was good fun. I know I drank way too much, and that was, but it was good fun.
this episode was going to be recorded yesterday, but yeah. I got a text. It was just like,
no,
not happening.
The other thing
is, that's what I know.
I got a physical letter
that uni friends are around.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Not insensitive, Dave. No, he was there.
Insensitive Dave
was there.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's great.
I got a physical letter, which was good. Yep. Also, I've been playing the new Kirby game with my son, which he's been talking about for like months. He's like, when are we getting this bloody Kirby game? So we went and got it. We were playing that together. And my daughter has started dance lessons, and it's really fun to see her. She's just loving it. She's loving herself sick in the dance studios. We're in there. We're doing little dances and stuff.
Oh, I know a fun thing that happened this week. You showed me a video of her running at another kid and falling over.
That's true. I did show you that as well.
Yeah.
But she's loving it. And she's like the littlest one there by like quite a bit. And it's just very adorable. Anyways, Touched Elf, real name Amanda. I hope those were okay stories.
There you go.
Mason's was mean though and cruel.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's who I've become, James.
I know. What else, Mason?
I listen to ABC Classic FM in my little car. I've become the exact thing that I hate, the real me.
The view you've been trying to
suppress. That's right. Yeah.
Terrific stuff.
Here's one more email. This is from Aiden.
Okay, Aiden.
He says, moving out is his subject line.
Moving out!
I started listening to you guys around when I started year 8. I'd listen on the long bus trip and on long late night walks. After a week, I'd caught up. I started rationing new episodes as they came out or re-listening to your earliest episodes. By the time I'd re-listened to them all, I got my school iPad and started watching the movies and shows you'd recommend and what you're going to read.
Awesome.
As an autistic kid who often found media, movies, and movie-related commentary straining, your casual and non-judgmental analysis completely changed my relationship to media. In so many ways, you helped me become more confident and sociable. Every week I felt like I got to partake in the kinds of conversations I could never manage myself. You felt like my friends.
That's really nice of
you. I'm moving out of home now into a crummy unit I bought. It's all very overwhelming. Tonight is my last night here, and I'm on my last late night long walk around here for a while in order to try and deal with the nostalgia I knew that I had to listen to your latest episode, followed by your first. It's really helped me to feel all the things I felt back then. Thanks from Aiden.
Congratulations on all of that. That's really cool. Getting their own place and moving out. And I love a night walk. I don't so much do them anymore because I'm a drunk. But instead of podcasting, we used to night walk.
That's true. Yeah.
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 So there you go.
The technology wasn't there to walk and record things.
Because, I was going to make a joke about this spooky house, but that was from another thing we recorded. About where we record. In the Moon Knight thing that we did.
Yeah.
That's great, though.
Yeah.
I love hearing stuff like that.
Me
and I love
too.
Things in general. You know what I love more than anything, though?
What's that?
When you wrap up the show. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening.
Because it means he's bloody going home.
Oh. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening to the show. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks for telling your friends about it. And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you happen to use. Really helps other people find it, apparently.
That's true.
Through this an algorithm?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Until all of these platforms just decide to only promote the podcast that they play exclusively for. Then this is helpful, allegedly.
Yes.
Anyway, it's from Doke Boy Fresh, who says, two great mates, James and Meso, seem like two cool dudes, and I enjoy all their insight here on the pod and YouTube. Hope this review makes me the official agriculture teacher / FFA advisor of the pod. Cheers. Yes, it does, actually. And this is from Dataloway, who says, appreciation. Hey, big fan, been watching since I was 15. I'm now 20, about to turn 21. And I watch a lot of you guys on YouTube and listen
Math
to every podcast. Sorry. I watch a lot of guys on YouTube and listen to podcasts and just easily forgot about them. But you guys are different. Every Sunday after Mass, I'll look forward to your videos. Then somewhere down the line, I just started listening to the pod. Probably has something to do with me. Just wanted to hear your guys' opinions on whatever happened that week. Just sense of humor resonates with me more than it probably should because I have a similar relationship with my good friend, probably my best friend, who's now in the Air Force. And, you know, it's tough sometimes. I miss how it used to be, and you guys bring it back for me in a way. Love you, Love you both. Don't stop ever. Always keep going.
Whoa.
We won't.
I might.
Yeah. We might.
Probably might.
But not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp.
Yeah.
You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can also go to the Weekly Planet Pod subreddit and Discord. Fun podcast and pop culture related chats. Why don't you?
Yeah, wonderfully.
If you want to follow some people on social media, you can follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
That's right.
I'm Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and I'm Nick Meso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies
everywhere.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Chuck in a buck. Chuck in any amount you want.
Give
50
us one.
Cents. $1 million?
Give us $1.
Give us $1.
Or whatever, or nothing.
But I mean, up to you.
We don't care.
Times are tough out there.
I agree, exactly. It's what is the thing about slip out of your pocket and whatever.
Yeah,
if you didn't miss it.
If you wouldn't miss the amount, whatever, donate the amount of money that you wouldn't miss if you lost it.
Or don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm. What else, Mason?
Give us a fake $10 on the street.
Yes, that's right.
Or if you're a big spender, you can go to bigsandwich.co. You can sign up for $9 per month. All sorts of bonus content, as we've mentioned, movie commentaries and bonus stuff. You know?
Yeah, there is. We did a Morbius book club.
That's right.
We did other things, didn't we?
We did that and other things.
Yeah, that's right.
Folks, we've got t-shirts on tpublic.com. You just search for The Weekly Planet or go to redbubble.com and search for Rob at Bat and Bat. You're still in a Rob at Bat and Bat t-shirt by in mind. Why wouldn't you be? Buy one for the Blu-ray release.
Exactly.
Go see The Batman again.
The Batman again?
I only saw it once.
I saw it one time.
Yeah. Do we have a Morbius-related t-shirt?
No.
Well, that's something to think about.
In the
couple of days we have until that movie becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
You can do that. And thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. We forgot to do Snake Eyes again. It's just occurred to me.
Oh, my God. And that's a spin-off in a way, isn't it?
No, we established last week it's not. Yeah, that's right.
Great.
That's the whole show, folks. Next week, oh, my God, here it is.
I cannot wait.
More BS. Yes.
More BS.
Then less BS. Then no BS.
That's right.
To tell
exactly.
You that much.
Thanks, everybody.
Grab that gem. You guys, we will see you next week. Bye.
Goodbye. No sting at the end.
Oh.
Because it's marketing. You remember, right?
Look, I don't understand marketing.
Do you remember, though?
Yes.
Okay, good. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.